call this meeting into order. This is the Osage Nation Congress Emergency Membership Committee meeting here in the Osage Nation Chambers, April 21st, 2017, at 10:07 a.m. This meeting is called for emergency because it was scheduled for yesterday. We had to cancel that meeting due to, we ran over our time on some of the other meetings and our sessions, so we went ahead and rescheduled this for this morning. And that's the reason we're here. And the first thing is a roll call.
Congressman Mason?
Present.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congressman Baker?
Here. Okay, next thing is prayer. Dotson will come. They are what they say about. Uncle God, he is all, not get on the corner. Or judge you need to see. Not get there, but I'll be coming. Or judge you need to see. To show where you come. Come. Because you have all not get there, but I'll be coming. No need to see something out there. I think that don't get there, but I'll be coming. Do heck, I'll be in the ship. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day and thank you for these rains that give us this coming. Make everything grow and give us water that we need so badly, Heavenly Father. I want you to be with us here today and give us the wisdom of our elders and our past leaders as we go into the business of our people so that we can have a nation to continue on into the future. We want you to bless all the sick and those grieving, and bless the children, the elders, our service people. And you know what we need there, Lord, so you take care of the things that I have left there. So we give you all the praise and glory, Heavenly Father. And we send you as a person. Amen.
Okay.
People again.
Page one, at the bottom of the page, there's a long line.
I did not start this meeting, but I would say that Dana wanted to put his title there, so I'll make sure that's put in there.
Move to approve the minutes for March 16th as presented.
Second.
Motion has been made to approve the minutes and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Minutes are approved. Okay. going on our agenda here this morning. We have on number five the membership update. This is the director of our membership department, Sarah Overly, is here today. Can you give us an update?
Well, I can. We're just finishing up the fiscal year. So we made 1,171 CDID membership cards in the last 6 months, 643 membership cards. 348 renewals, 257 were replacements. We did 528 CDIP cards, 298 renewals, 250 were replacements. we had approximately 240 volunteers, and those are the ones that signed in. Some of them don't want to sign in, which is fine. We had incoming mail we received was 1,406 pieces of mail that we went through. And the update, you know, my main goal has been since the end of 2015 is to combine all the files that we had. We had membership files, CDIB files, replacement files, name change files, adoptee files, lottie files, deceased files. Now we've left the lottees alone and we've left the adoptees alone. But the rest, I said, let's combine into one master file so it doesn't take somebody an hour to find all these files. So up to date, we have done 6,820 master files have been done. Of course, we have about 20,000 more to do, but at least we made a start. I brought you all just a brief report. And for those listening, Osages with membership, we have 20,547. Osages without membership, we have 3,393. Members 18 and older, and that's just for voting purposes, we have 14,962. Members in Osage County is 3,919. Members in Oklahoma, 9,366. California, 1,575. And Texas, 1,971. And I just did those three states because that's where the concentrated Osages live. Those are our main ones. And then on the other page, I listed every age. And if you notice, at the bottom of the ages, it's 20,466, and it should be 20,547, which means there's been 81 records made where they did not put the date of birth in. So that's why I have them up there. We will have to go back and change that. We're going to have to find them. I'm not saying that we didn't do it. We could have been in a hurry and somebody just forgot or whatever, but we're going to correct that. So I know we have to need to talk about, I would love to bring up the genealogy again because they're on my side. So if we have a chance, I would love to bring that up. I know we've got the census to talk about, so I just want to make that brief statement. I'll let you all know what we do and have done. And if anybody has any questions.
Councilor Mason. In some places that, or some entities that I know of, you sign out a form. If you leave a form, something blank on a particular form, it goes in a separate pile because it's not a completed form. Therefore, you're not a part of whatever you're signing up for. Is that the same here, those 300 plus that have perhaps left a blank some entity, and you set those aside, and you say they're non-members, but they are they or are they not?
No. No, okay. When I first came there, we had baskets and baskets of what they call incomplete files, because they didn't send anything. And we were to keep them in here. Well, nobody ever checked. So I started looking, there was like 5 years worth of things that people never sent anything back. So then I just decided, I told people, I said, if you get an application and it is incomplete, write a letter, tell them what they're missing, send everything back. And then just tell them, if you get it, send it all back. That way, we no longer, because in the basement, we didn't have money to keep it. Now, if you're talking about the Osages that are not members, is that?
I'm talking about the actual document form that okay. proves they are, that okay. should be in your office.
Right.
Everything is filled out, everything is there, they're Osage.
Right.
If there's form that's not filled or incomplete or there's no proof, if you will, a lineage, then to me they're non-Osages.
Right.
They don't count.
Right.
What do you do then?
Send them back.
Okay.
And they're just, you know, either send them back and say, I'm sorry, but we have not been able to establish your lineage back to someone from the 1906 roll. You know, a lot of times I give them a chance because I don't want to, if I send it to the BIA and they reject it, that's it. They'll never take it again. So I give them a chance and I say, you may want to do more checking, maybe, you know, research more and send it back to us. You know, maybe you'll find something. But right now, I cannot make you a member. I cannot make you an Osage because I don't have enough documentation.
so. You're very kind, and I'd be the first to say, when it comes to that, I'm not.
Yeah.
You are, you're not. You can prove it or you can't.
Right.
And that's it. If we all kind of agree to that, you know that it's okay to be a little more harsh on our directives, but by golly, you know, they've got to come up with the proof to be Osage.
And I've always said that because even the BIA says that onus is on them. You have to prove you're Osage. And...
Can or can't.
Yeah. But again, with this genealogy, they send me this stuff, I can't. And most of the time, like I was just talking to the board, I don't even have the research material to help them. Even if they are Osage, and I know they're Osage. I just got one yesterday and talked about his land. And he was like, well, my great-great-grandmother had his Alati land. And then he let some guy from Arkansas come up to run it, to do whatever, farm it, whatever. And somehow or another, it's out of family. Who's got my land? I don't know. And it's like, I don't know. What man am I? What's my plan? And I'm like, ask your parents, ask your grandparents. You know, I don't know how to find that. So it's very frustrating to me because I get these data. Because it comes from the genealogy, from the cultural center. And now that they just automatically send them to me. Number one, I don't have the time to try to research it. I try if I can, but there's a lot that I cannot answer.
They have their land description, go to Osage County. They got,
well, that's...
Send them over there.
Yeah. And
you don't have to, your membership, you're not doing this.
Well, and I want to just, because it's really a disservice to them, because they think they're getting a genealogist when they send this in. And I'm not. And none of my people are. We're not genealogists. And they think, I have one. She thinks she might be Choctaw. And I'm like, why are you sending this to me? Because you're a genealogist. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I can only help those people. I mean, you know, I can't, you're going to have to contact the
top. I'd like to recognize the Assistant Chief at his hand.
Sorry.
Thank you for being here, Assistant Chief.
Well, thank you. To Sarah's point, Sarah and I have had numerous conversations about this, and this is the great thing about the membership law, is because regardless of... well, I'll just help make the point.
Okay.
Regardless of this mountain of requests and these expectations of these people, the law dictates what her duties, the duties of that department, not what people request, not what people expect. And when this genealogy thing came up, that was exactly what does the law say? Well, the law says you do this, 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 and this, and that's all you're empowered to do. Anything beyond that is beyond the scope of what the law sets out for this department to do. Doing genealogy work or checking land records or all those things are something entirely different. So in this case, the law is really kind of working for us to keep the membership department focused properly on their job.
Right, because again, as Assistant Chief pointed out to me, he said Osage law restricts the functions of the membership department. While some materials related to Osage genealogy are in my possession, current law precludes us from conducting research beyond what is necessary to establish a membership.
I agree, as is the land records. There's another place to go. There's another place to go with the county. And it's not membership's duty to pull all those threads together for people that walk through the need help. I definitely...
And that's why I wanted out of my office. I wanted to go maybe back to the cultural center or, you know, somewhere where they have those kind of records or knowledge. I don't have it. I mean, if I can find you, if I can get you back to that 1906, I got the 1921 census, I got the 1923 census. I mean, I can do that kind of search, you know, but this other stuff, to establish membership, that's what I can do. This other stuff just takes too much of my time, and too much of it I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to tell them to go. And I just, either I need money to hire a genealogist, or if another department has money to hire a genealogist that I can use, I think this tribe needs one.
Hey, let's, let me interrupt here for a second. This type, say the genealogy discussion on my deal.
Okay.
We have,
but that's
we're
true,
coming through time to this
okay,
point.
I'm sorry.
There's a lot of discussion here, and I'd like to say one thing, make a little statement. You know, back in the old days, when the tribe first came here, you know, it was probably pretty easy to do a membership back then, you know. But as time came on, and you have a lot of intermarriage, so it's very difficult to do this, and it's a very important job. I think one of the BIA people told Sarah at one of her workshops, you have the most important department in your tribe taking care of this, and this membership. You're doing a great job. I know it's very complicated.
And they only said that because we interrupt you.
Yeah.
And I at first thought, oh no, this comic is a little better. But they said no. You know. They said without membership officers, no members.
Right.
And without any members, there's no government. There's no tribe. There's, you know, so then I kind of started sinking in. I was like, oh, because we are the ones that.
And also members. It just seems like the Osages are we're a very popular tribe.
Everybody wants to
say
no.
We think we are.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to bring the discussion back to your report that you just gave. And I'm curious to know, Ms. Oberle, I like this report. It's a great one. Do you have an active database that will pull all these queries that you report to us together? Or is it easy for you with your database to produce this record?
Yes. And if there is any other record you want, tell me.
Okay. Do it. I'm just wanting to know that our database is working for us.
It is. And, now, the only thing, and Eli, I got your report for more. Now, the only thing that I'm going to tell you right now and tell everybody, I'm not going to say this is 100% correct because they may be listed in Kansas, but they moved back to Oklahoma and they didn't let us know. We're still counting them as being in Kansas. And I think there's a lot of that because we have a lot of bad addresses. And so they may say they live, my computer shows they live in Oklahoma, but they could be living in Kansas for all I know, unless they let me know that they move.
That's always been a plot of tribes, too.
Yes.
From some of the research that I've done. I have another question I asked about the databases. You talked about consolidating files except for adoption and allottee files. Mm-hmm. You kept those separate. Are those files electronic also? Are you talking about paper files? Are you talking about electronic files?
As we're making master files. Mm-hmm. It's a hit and miss where the former employees scanned it. Mm-hmm. So some I find, oh my God, this has not been scanned yet. So we have to take the time as we're making new folks to scan again. So we do, because I want to eventually have paper files, but I also want electronic files.
So you're doing it in duplicate, with your practices right now to duplicate the
duplicate
paper
and
the electronic. So
yes. You
can type in a member's name or membership number. It comes a file with them with all the pertinent documents
electronically. That's what I want.
You're awesome.
They can come in and I can say, and I can look in the documents. I'm like, oh yeah, here's your birth certificate. Do you want a copy of it? Okay, here it is. If not, I have to go find that file. Oh, it's not in their CBIB file. Maybe it's in a membership file. Then I have to go over there and look and see if it's in there. Oh, it might be in their name change when I got married. Maybe it's there. So my goal is I want it all electronic because that makes you very
interested about her report. So that's great. I'm glad that you're doing that. And on my way here this morning, I'm making a show. I was thinking, I wish Mark Kirk would be here for this meeting too. One of these days we need to have him at our meeting also. I've been having some discussions about privacy of personal records of Osage people. It's very important to me that we have very good internet security and privacy. Do you feel comfortable with the level of security that we have on these documents?
I did not know until last month that everyone that has CRM and we, and a lot of departments have it, there's a pull-down window. New make members, or whatever, there's member, non-member, relinquished, other tribe. I had no idea that everybody in this nation has access to that. Therefore, they could go and relinquish somebody if they're mad at them. They could go and make somebody a member.
Has it been corrected yet?
Oh yeah, it cost me $4,000, but I finally got IT to correct it.
Why did it cost you?
Why did it cost you $4,000?
Because they make me use the CRM. And I don't want to talk bad about people, but I'm being forced. This is not a Native American program that they do make for Native American tribes. I have to use this customer relations business program. They don't know how to change it a lot. So they have to go outside and get Planet, who's a vendor, to come in and make the changes that I want. And then I have to pay them. And I have probably paid $35,000 in the last couple of years to have things changed that I need changed.
So let me understand. So all of our departments that tap into CRM had access to information that they should not have.
They should have never had the ability to make anyone a member or relinquish anyone. I have it now. It's a pull-down. They can put non-member or other tribe, but we have grayed out member and relinquished. They cannot touch that now. They cannot do anything with that. But again, it cost me. But I thought it was worth it because that scared me to death when I found that out. I was like, what?
Okay.
You know?
So I think we need to, just as a people, as the Congress and the departments that tap into our membership, I think we really need to have some really good discussions and find out. Maybe we will invite Mr. Kirk next time. I have one more question, if you'll indulge me, if you have something. So you mentioned that there's 228 new CDIBs been applied for. And I didn't catch the time frame that those 228 applications fell. Was that FY16 for the full year?
No, that was for 6 months.
That was for 6 months.
It was for the last fiscal year, it was 6 months.
Okay, and so of those 228, are the majority of those new birth from birth records?
They are, they're new ones. They've never had one before. Most of them, I would say probably about 75% of our new CDIBs are babies.
Okay.
And probably the next set is teenagers getting ready to go to college. Okay. And we have a few that are older, but not many.
Okay.
So that's the majority of who we get.
That was my question. Thank you.
Sure. I'll
finish with the report.
Councilman Mason, yes, just want to publicly acknowledge Councilwoman Cynthia Boone from the Minerals Council. Oh. She's sitting here in the audience. And
thank you.
With, for all of us here, executive and us in Congress and Minerals, we're all dealing with membership. We're all talking about people. We'll save people. To determine who is and who isn't, that kind of thing, and how to be legally clean on all of this so that it is what it is. My question that I have is going back to what you said, we have to go to a third party and the computer side of things. I'm just wondering if out there someplace in the listening audience or what, we might have an Osage computer programmer, somebody that can develop a program that it's custom made just for you, for your department. You know, if we're going to pay somebody some money, let's pay one of our own people to do that service for us. And I think there are some young people out there very savvy with computers that are programmers that may be able to do. I'm just throwing that out there as a thought, and you may, on another day.
I would absolutely go crazy if I could get somebody like that.
And then my next question would be, as we look at the department, if you will, your office of membership. You got enough people? I mean, do you need more staff? Just a question. What's your dream?
Of course, I need more staff.
It's a dream.
To be honest with you, yes.
Let us know what your dream is.
But I mean, I'm maintaining with what I have. But if we've done this genealogy and this census on me, I'll tell you right now. I do not have the budget, I do not have the staff, and I do not have the knowledge. And I'll be honest with you, when I go through something, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I don't know how to do that. I don't know.
I agree with you. I mean, all those statements you made are reviewed and looked at as part of why.
Yeah. It's something I know nothing about.
Assistant Chief, I see your hand up.
Well, all I'm going to do is echo Sarah's words. It's just hopefully Congress can refrain from giving more responsibilities to that to any department, especially Sarah's, without the additional resources to carry that out. And that kind of goes for our side too. It isn't like they're sitting around there playing peanut or something. I mean, I go over there with some regularity, and they're at it. I mean, there's lots of work there. So we appreciate what she does. And it isn't that these aren't admirable goals or worthy goals of the nation, genealogy and a census. We can talk about those when we get to. We're not that there.
Yeah, the intention of the goals and how it's going to serve us, I think, is what the questions we need to be asking.
Okay, do you have any more quick questions for the update? Because Congresswoman Buckohead is here, and we need to get on her bill. We got item number 6 on our agenda. And we can, Sarah Misoberly is always open for any questions. You go there any time and visit with her for a few minutes because she is very busy. And she has directions from the chief also that she's working on and all the time. She's very busy. So let's go ahead and this. We're going to talk now on item 6, ONCA 1731, an act to require the Osage Nation to conduct a census of the people of the Osage Nation and to establish a normative record date. Sponsor is Congresswoman Buckohead. She is here to talk about her bill. You have the floor.
Thank you. I'm going to wait for Chad to get back because I've got amendments.
I did not see
this. The first amendment that I'd like to make, though, is page 1, line 1617, strike, comma, and to establish an alternate effective date. We need to take that out so that it doesn't become law effective immediately and they have time. Membership is going to be administering this so that they have proper time to get a format and set dates for when this will go out.
What was that for?
Page 1, line 1617.
Can I ask her a question while we're waiting on?
Yes. I have a question for the college team.
Anybody have an extra pen? Can't leave it in for a pen?
I might, so you let me check. I'll see.
It's on that table.
Oh, here.
Thank you.
Okay, question?
I just heard Congressman Buffalohead say that membership was to administrate it. I've read the bill and it doesn't say that membership is to administrate it. It just says it'll be in the executive branch. Are there more amendments forthcoming to put that in the
I'm not going to put that in there. I only know that because I've spoken with the executive and said, if I write this law, what department do you foresee working on it? And the answer was membership. So all the meetings that I've had working on this have been with membership, and we've had a couple of meetings, I think 2 or 3.
Do they support this?
I'll let her answer for herself.
And I'll be honest with you, I think it's a great idea. I think it's needed. I think we can probably find out things about our people that may help in the future. I do have concerns. One is, I know I don't have the budget, I don't have the staff, I don't know how to do it. I mean, besides that, no, what I would like to do, because you want it every 7 years, this very first year, if we could possibly get a full-time project manager that could come in and oversee it and show us how to conduct one, show us what's needed, and we take really good notes, then the next 7 years we can do it on our own and we can do it, you know, thereafter. I will have to have additional staff, but just for the time allowed that it's going to take. I know, like, the candy's loose if you're going to have to turn in a budget. I don't even know how to do a budget because I've never done a census before. So I did get a call back because I called the U.S. Census Office on Google,
And I talked to the lady yesterday, and she said she does hers by county. And I said, we can't do that because, you know, I said, I think we have Osages living in every state except for one. I said, we can't go door to door on this. And so she's going back to headquarters, she said today, to see if she can find a person that just does tribal census and have him call me. And she said, maybe he can give you some tips, give you some guidance, give you, you know, how to get started or, you know, kind of what to do. I know you have the questions, which is probably half the battle, you know, and there may be more that we want to add, you know. Like I said, I think it's a wonderful idea. But when I don't know how to do something, that scares me, you know. So I think the more I thought about it, it's like if we could at least the first year get an expert in to tell us, this is what you need to do, this is, you know, this is how you do it, this is how you do it, this is how you do it. And then after that, we know. And then the next 7 years, as long as we make really good notes, we would probably never have to pay someone to come in and to conduct it. You see what I'm saying? We would be able to.
So I don't really care what department does it. That's not my job to try to pinpoint who's going to do it. It has the support of the chief and I believe the assistant chief. And I think that it's needed too. I think that we appropriate money and we have no idea who we serve. We have no idea. We don't know how many single mothers we have. We don't know how many disabled Osages we have. We don't know how many veterans we have. We don't know how many mothers and fathers live below the poverty line. We don't know. But we create programs and services every single year. And
who do they serve? How many people do they serve? Because we have that information right here that you just reported on.
But we don't know we don't know who we really serve. We know a tribe. We know how many tribal members we have. But can you tell me how many Osage mothers and fathers we have that are single parents that live below the poverty line? I mean, we don't know that. But we have a program and service for, we have TANF, we have crisis assistance, we have the Disabled Osages Fund that are not fund anymore, but we have a program that services those individuals, but we don't know how many disabled Osages we really have.
Because we don't have that information. That's only in Osage County, too.
We don't know the population that. We already have some of that demographic information that you could ask for data from those programs to see who it is that we serve there.
We're starting to go, only if they apply for the service that we're in.
And if they don't, how is that going to serve us to know that there's 300 more that don't apply? How is that going to, I'm trying to see why the expense needs to be done on this when I think that we have the data about service to our people in-house already that we have never done a job with the
community. Let's keep a little bit of work here, even though we can't openly discuss this.
And we do support the idea of the census. I'm just going to, let's just go a little farther into it to kind of see, and answer your question directly. When that conversation was going on, I immediately thought of Mr. Potts. If the Congress has a bill before it that establishes benefit X, and benefit X is means tested, and this shall apply to people under, or to veterans, or to whatever. Mr. Potts has absolutely no method of establishing the liability, the potential cost of that program at 100% participation without this.
There's no date in here of when it has to be started. They can take their time with it. Sounds like you all have already had a conversation because you asked about, does the membership department support it? I knew Sarah's fear of, I don't have a budget. I don't have a dollar amount put in here. Eventually, there has to be an appropriation to this. We have to either figure out if we're mailing out, if we're going to use the newspaper, because the newspaper's already paying postage and put a form in there. She's talked about online, getting information online. She's even talked to some younger people who said, we're online people. that would have to be created. If we mail out through the newspaper, we still have to mail, give postage for people to mail back. But it's the concept of an Osage census, which we have not done since 1953. So they're going to have to rush around in 6 months or 7 months. I mean, if they can get it up off the ground in a year, I think that that's good.
See, my problem is getting them to respond.
They're trying to keep a little bit before they hear the change. There's so much to say, and I know everybody has a lot to say.
Yes, we support a census. Yes, I think that that type of information is necessary to make a real fiscal analysis about participation rates and overall cost. I understand what you're saying about well, we only have X number of people participate, but that potential should make us aware. Let's just do it this way. If we have a really good census that's complete and informative, then we have the ability, when a bill to fund the education fund comes through, we have a much better idea of what that cost is going to be in year two, in year three, in year four, going forward. Perhaps it's topping out. Perhaps it's, I mean, there's all kinds of demographics that go into that. Does the Osage demographic match the national demographic? And I know Congress and the executive branch is attempting to do long-range financial planning. If we are going to stick with these benefits at these rates, that the information we get from a census like this is key, which brings me to my next point. I'm not sure that Section 2B should be as restrictive as it is. The U.S. Census asks a lot of questions. And for that reason, if it's limited to this, there's only this much information that you're going to be able to ask. I'm not sure how Congress wants to approach it. I'm not sure how much leeway the Congress wants to give the executive branch. But some kind of language to the effect of is required but is not limited to this information, I think is important. How we do that, we can hash out, or we can do it in policies. But there's been talk, and I've been a proponent of this from that chair up there, measured outcomes, measured outcomes, measured outcomes. If we don't know how many Osages are in Osage County and are below the poverty line, then we don't know whether TANF and the financial assistance is bringing those people up out of poverty, or whether they're still, we don't know the effect of that program. And that's not just the participants, that's everybody that might be eligible, because that measurement, based on these numbers, that measurement tells us how many participants are we actually getting to participate in these programs that are supposed to bring them up. And if we're only getting 20 or 30%, and we know that from these numbers, based on our program participation, then we can say, well, we're not bringing them up because we only have 20% program participation. So I'm very much in favor of this. I think we need to suss out a few more details. One more issue, and this has been kicked around. I don't know how Congress feels about it. I'm actually not sure how the executive branch feels about it. The other issue that's been brought up is this, let me rephrase, should there be a conditional aspect to benefit and program participation based upon the participation in this census? Now, that's a sticky wicket for Osages.
Yeah, because that's what the surveys did.
But if we're going to have a conversation, I'm going to go this far into this subject. If we're going to have a conversation about measured outcomes and whether these millions of dollars that we spend in tribal dollars are actually having the effect we want to have, then we have to have this information. Or we're simply shooting a gun off in the dark and hoping that we eventually hit something. That's all I just wanted to raise those issues. It's a lot to think about.
No. You know, when I started kicking this legislation around in my head, I had the concept. I went to executive. Executive didn't come to me. And, you know, a few other things like that are included in this are, we don't, you know, we put all this money into education, our scholarships. We know how many graduates we have based on if they have gotten money from us. We don't know how many Osages we have with a bachelor's degree or master's degree. I mean, the census, I try not to get, people are funny about census anyways. I don't want people to know I'm a business, but there are things on here that are pretty generic. I mean, education level. We should know. If we can, if we can find out, we have a way to find out. We should know how many educated Osages we have. If they're a bachelor or a master or a PhD, we should know. I want to insert insurance. With the new administration at the federal level, they're trying to repeal Obamacare all the time. And they may be very successful in that. I want to know, do our people have private insurance coverage, or are they dependent upon Indian Health Services? I think that's good information to have. Whether or not they own or rent their home, we have a fund that I believe 12 people voted for for first-time homeowners. Well, we voted on it, but how many of us knew how many Osages own or rent? We don't know. This isn't going to give us 100% information from all of our children. Of course not. We don't get anything in here that gives us 100% of information of stuff we're going to vote on. But right now, we have no information on that. Another insert that I want to do for an amendment is employment status. Well, we know that people, you know, that fill out the TANF or crisis assistance, if they're asked on that form whether or not they're employed, but if they don't go to that service, we don't know. I have no idea how many Osages are working, how many aren't. I think this is needed. And I mean, the programs and services are doing a good job, but if we can get it all in one swoop, and then help disseminate this out to the programs and services, why would you not? That's...
Thank you. My observations and perhaps critique are meant to be damaging as constructive critiques, if you will. But I hear a lot of conversation about talking about the content of the bill. And I look just at the title to begin with. It says, to require the Osage Nation to conduct a census. I'm talking about a census. I'm not really down to the other nitty-gritty of what exactly we need to ask. I'm just talking about a census. And that itself is a challenge to do that. And there, you know, the United States does it, the county does it, the city does it, you go to the hospital, St. Francis does it, you know, all of these people, if there's another party involved, they have to ask these questions, and you have to respond if you want that service. So it says the Osage Nation is trying to conduct a census. Throughout the bill, it doesn't mention the word membership at all, membership in the party. It doesn't say that. Perhaps we're not at that point. Other part I'm thinking of is timing. At the end, we already said under your amendment to scratch the end of it to establish an effective date. Well, just checking with the clerk, when that is scratched, then there's kind of an automatic thing. Is what the bill then becomes active after the signature? How many days after? 60 days after. So if we scratch that and the chief goes ahead and signs that, then 60 days afterward it's supposed to kick in and happen. But we don't have any money set aside to make that happen yet. So even after 60 days pass, we're not ready to go unless they find some money to do it with. And then I'll get into the content part of it. I'm not going to say what I think needs to be asked of or the various questions. I'm thinking this is going to be a collaborative effort between the committee, you as the sponsor of the bill, the executive, anyone involved in question, developing the questions and content. Need to sit down and take a good, hard look at it, Dave, and what are the kinds of questions we need to ask? What kind of information do we need? And it's probably more than this. Maybe some of it needs to be out, maybe some needs more stuff to be added. Along with that, I don't want to eliminate Minerals Council just kind of looking over our shoulder to make sure that the things that we're asking is also applicable to them, and maybe they have input saying, hey, why don't you ask this question? I'm just saying that. So back to the top on line 16, it says, require the Osage Nation to conduct a census. We are talking about, do we need to develop, or does somebody here in our government develop another office of genealogy, or the census office, which includes this? And every 7 years, because 7 years from now, I'm going to be 80 years old. 7 years, I'll be 87 after that. And I hope to be in all of those censuses and have input in it. But, you know, I start looking at that. And then I look back in 1953, who did that census? United States government, Bureau of Indian Affairs did that. And they've got a wealth of money, and they've got a wealth of people to do that. And if it had U.S. Census or United States government on that, you responded, because the government said. Now, we're the Osage Nation government. We should have the same power as they did. I think we should have that. I don't know if our people believe that. But my God, you know, if you don't fill this out, you're not on the books, my friend. You're just kind of going to heaven. If you're not in that book, you don't get in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Potts has been waiting for a moment. Here, Ms. Potts, real quick, and then we'll go on.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to touch on a couple of things that a couple of different people have spoken about. Assistant Chief mentioned the language in Section 2B might be somewhat limiting. I don't necessarily know that. It does specifically say they shall ask those specific questions. And from my studies, there are ways to get at those answers without actually asking those questions. So I agree, that can be somewhat pigeonholing into the exact questions that we may have to ask on some type of census that goes forward, when that may not be the best way to ask that question. So wanted to touch on that. The second thing that a lot of people seem to be concerned about are response rates. That's something that my background specifically, we can project and make statistical analysis on the probability of means. And your response rate doesn't have to be 100%. It never is 100%.
Correct.
You never get 100% of your respondents. But even getting something, or at least getting started or having something to build on, helps you in all of these calculations. So if you only get 30 or 40% of your veterans that do respond, you can calculate a probability within the actual population that you have of those people who may be veterans. The same goes for single mothers, the same goes for father. I mean, all of that information can be calculated. But that's something that you're gonna get from more questions on a survey than less. The fewer questions you have on there, the less information you're gonna be able to extract from that. So, to throw a bunch of stuff at you, I apologize on that, but Section 2B can be rather limiting. I don't know that those are the exact questions that you want to ask. It's a great start. The two on the response rate, we deal with that stuff all the time, and there are ways around that. And even more so moving forward, even the U.S. government has looked at using population sampling instead of actual verification of individuals, which is another way around it. Some people are iffy about that because it's not an exact count, but it is statistically very accurate. So you have that question to answer as well.
Thank you, Mr. Potts. Councilman White.
Yes, I was wanting to kind of springboard off some things that the Assistant Chief said, and I can understand and I can see how you think that demographic would be helpful for making decisions moving forward. But I want to bring it back into what we do right now. Do we even have the demographics and the numbers within our working active programs that we can look at without sharing people's information and look at and see who we help and how many we've helped, and we'll extrapolate single parent homes, especially through our social services program. Is that data already produced within TANF and within Child Protective Services? Can I have an answer?
Yes. The answer is yes. It's the very program that Sarah talked about, CRM. It's a kind of a giant animal
that you can pull a lot of data from. It's been in use a couple of years. It's an ongoing process, the implementation process. But as far as I know, without going and asking a bunch of people, exactly, yes, what I know of CRM, it's applications in these different programs, yes, we do have that data. I think, Mike, and not to take over your question, but in a larger sense, there's a whole bunch of people outside of this area that we may
not. And I understand that. I'm not being a naysayer. But I want to know, do we extrapolate that data that you guys are giving examples of how we legislatively can work? I mean, we don't get that over here. We have that available data that we can utilize when we appropriate, then why aren't you handing it to us to make those decisions?
The question is utilize as opposed to use another word the first time. I like the word utilize better. I'm going to answer your question in a certain way. That's exactly why I think we should sit down and talk about measured outcomes. Because if we begin focusing on measured outcomes, the very thing that you're proposing happens. It isn't, in other words, if you're going for a measured outcome, now we know what our dollars get us. We know what those product dollars get us. And the way we get there is to do the analysis of the very data that you're asking about. The data itself is not the goal. The goal is getting a measured outcome.
And 100%, we agree with each other 100% on this, but when we try to get data over here in this branch of government, and I'm not trying to make it be ugly here, but when we try to get data to help us make good appropriation decisions, we get roadblocks, we have to subpoena information, and we get sent to court. So I'm disheartened that we can't even get the data that this government already possesses to make good appropriation decisions. So it's hard for me to make the jump, and it's nothing against the census. I can see the usefulness of it, but it's hard for me to make the jump and want to fund and put people through the hoops and the rigors of doing this work when the information that we have available to us, we can't utilize right now.
Yeah. The Speaker and I have had conversations on this subject, and I know I'm taking altitude on it, but I think it's important. It's the process of establishing shared goals between the executive branch up front. Once we agree on the goal, then getting there becomes just things falling into place. And not to be ugly, I really don't want to go here, but when the information is to inform, it's a different than information to control. And that's all I want to say about that. I mean, so we differentiate that way, and I can't speak 100% for Chief Standing here. Sometimes our ideas and others are slightly different from I think that's to be expected. But if we can get together long enough to establish, we all agree this is our goal, then this other stuff begins to fall into place, I think, without a lot of the friction that we might have experienced in the past. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair. Okay, good.
Ever since I have sat on this body, the information I've requested has been information to inform, to help this body make good legislative appropriation decisions. I have never, ever asked for information to control, because I want you guys to do that. I have never done that. That has never been my goal. I don't know what happened or why the views between branches is that way, but it seems to always fall that you can't have that information, because if you have that information, then you could appropriate less money. Well, what if we want to appropriate more money? And we have in certain instances as far as education goes. So one more thing, if we can't legislate measured outcomes, And I have the feeling if we would try to legislate, this body would try to legislate that this the way this government operated, we'd be in court because it would be a separation of powers issue, because we're telling the executive what to do. That's just been my experience sitting here. And I'm not trying to go there either, but I'm just trying to speak honestly about how I view things from sitting in the seat as a legislator.
Thank you for that confirmation.
Yeah, just a chair and as a member of the committee, membership committee, this piece of legislation was assigned to us, and I would like to share with Congresswoman Buffalo. I support this. I think we need a census. And I see shakes and nods. I see people doing that. And I'll stop there. I think we need a census. I want this document to be as strong as you can make it, we can make it, before we put it out on the floor.
Yeah, I got something to say here.
That's all.
Everybody knows this is a great idea, and we need it desperately. I mean, it's a wonderful idea. I wish I had thought of it. We have here the census here, if people want to look at, that the U.S. government did in 1953. And it has all the on the top here, all the things that they required in their census. Of course, here in modern times, we have a lot more things we need to do the projections that we need to serve our people. And with Mr. Potts, our data man, budget man, and what all we need to serve our people, that's what we all want to do. What we, our mission is to serve the Osage Nation as best we can with what resources we have. And but I think, personally, this is going to take a little bit of time to work on. And it's a great idea, but I mean, when these be done, I would say within probably a year, maybe it was time to get it put together, maybe quicker, I don't know. But I looked up online, the U.S. Census. I can see what the other tribes are doing, when they do the Cherokee, that they're all doing this. So it's just,
I want to agree with Mr. Potts on something. I only got a C in stats, but he's absolutely right. And if see if his memory matches mine. When it comes to that kind of sampling, if you can get 25 samples in a given demographic, that's sometimes, well, that's the low threshold. Sometimes you at least have something that you can rely on a little bit. So I'm not saying the whole we need 25 respondents, but I'm talking about in a particular question or in a particular category, you have some basis for going forward. I'd like for the committee to have a brief discussion, if possible, about the possibility of just contracting this. The election board, you know, just does something every couple of years. This is going to be every 7, as the bill is written. I'm not sure 5 might not serve better. But that aside, contracting an outside party and then working with or under the membership department is a different proposition than a full-time census employee. At 7 years, it's a one-year project, and it's something that we spend that money on in that 1 year and not beyond. So I don't know how the sponsor feels about that, as opposed to assigning it with temporary help to a given department whose goals are similar but different.
Yes, I appreciate the opinion that our assistant chief has and executive at this point and all of the opinions that are expressed at the table. But I go back to, again, our sponsor, Alice Bufflehead, who has brought this. She birthed this idea, and her name's on it. With conversations that you've been hearing, I just need to ask Alice, when do you think this could start? When would you like to see this whole project begin?
Well, I in my mind, and I didn't put this in the legislation, I haven't thought about outsourcing it. I haven't even thought it. You mentioned early on about kind of a requirement to get services and participation. I'm of the opinion that it needs to be voluntary. I don't really know how. I haven't had any discussions with you all about that, so I really don't know how I feel about it. I filed this before session started. I had started having meetings on this months ago. I've done my job in terms of due diligence in having meetings beforehand. Here we sat the Friday before we in session talking about this for the very first time. So in my mind, I thought that whoever administered this, it would probably be a whole year away from when it actually gets started, just for the the executive branch to, if they're going to administer it, to come up with the actual form, try to give us a number for what it may cost us, permanently decide who's going to administer it. I mean, membership is the department I've been speaking with all this time. So I was thinking that it would be a year. I haven't had any roadblocks from the executive branch that have been like, no, we'll get to it when we get to it. I think everyone has said it's been, you know, like a year away. Like if we, but there also has to be advertisement. And Sarah and I talked about that a month ago, where we thought, well, if we come up with a date that we, the nation, but they, executive, come up with a date, then it could be advertised through the news and on the website and on social media from the summertime through the fall that this is coming. We need your help. We need your participation. We need to hear from you. She even talked about incentives. Maybe someone gets a free shirt. The federal census does that. You know, the state census does that. They give out, I don't know, coffee mugs, t-shirts, whatever. So we talked about that as well. So Congressman, in my mind, a year away is when I was thinking it would roll out.
Yes. A couple of things starting to pop up is there's an election coming up in 2018. It's going to affect our government, first thing. And then the second thing is, where can we put in here in your bill a start date or some sort to make it establish a date? Are we at a point to say you want to make the census begin in March of 2018 or September of 2018? Or I don't know, is that what we're saying? If you thought maybe or your dream was that this would begin or be implemented on a particular date, we can begin.
I'm agreeable to an amendment if you guys, the committee, feels like there needs to be a start date in there.
I would think we need an end date, a start date and an end date, you know, however long you want to make it. But we've got to stop it sometime so we can, you know, compile it. So it's nothing that can like go on for years and years.
I don't know how long.
I think that there's more questions than answers on this bill, and I think that we all are heading in the same direction to get more data-driven information about our Osage people and how our nation serves them. I'm in agreement with that. I have many, many questions. I think that Congressman Mason's, I think it needs a date that the census is going to...
I'll make a motion to table ONCA 1731.
That's going to engage, and I think that we need to look at protection of records because we're going to be asking, revealing information.
Yeah, we're
motion. Second.
Okay. Thanks, President. Okay, we have a motion, second, to table this. All in favor, say yes.
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 All against? No. Okay, the motion carries. This ONCA 1731 is tabled. So, we once a month here, so I knew in advance that this was going to take a little more discussion. I didn't think it was hard to get this in the committee equipment because I knew there was going to be a lot of discussion on this, and that's why I didn't rush it to get a meeting discussed because I knew there was going to be a lot of discussion and work on this. Did you have something to speak on? You had that look like you wanted to ask a question. But yeah, I pretty much knew that this is going to take more work because, I mean, it's one page, which I'm glad of that. But I think there's a lot of questions that the whole Congress would like to have, I wish we could have more members here to discuss this.
I just want it to be really good and really right and thought through it and the cost before we
it's a great
go out to do it.
I agree.
I agree.
because I think it's still very important, so I'd like it all. As perfect as it can be.
In legislation, not just in practice.
Let me interrupt here, we still have to vote, we're sort of keeping this all in line here, so. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All opposed, no, motion carries. Okay. Next on the agenda is ONCA 1765, and this is.
Make a motion to take a recess for about 3 minutes, 5 minutes.
Okay, yeah, we're taking a recess for a few minutes.
Thank you. Raymond. You and I meet a lot, I just don't know. They all driven is how I want to work.